All right, guys, it is Sunday morning, and it is Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day. And this is Sunday School, and we are in Psalms 107. And we're not quite caffeinated to the proper level yet, so I'll be sipping as we speak. We're actually going to start in verse 1 again, just to review a little bit, and then we'll end up down in 17, okay? So I'm reading out of the New King James. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endures forever. Do we forget that from time to time?
Yes.
His mercy endures. He is not like we are. Anybody else in here ever get irritated?
Yeah.
Forrest doesn't. I know he doesn't. You're not irritated. I like to pick on people. Anybody that sits in the back gets picked on. All right. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Does it matter what we say?
Yes.
I'm redeemed. Is anybody else redeemed?
Yes.
Just announce that right now. I'm redeemed.
I'm redeemed.
I'm paid for.
The Lord paid the price.
And that doesn't mean that we don't have responsibilities in this covenant. We have responsibilities, but guess what? We win.
Amen.
And if you get that deep in your heart, your life will be so much easier. So, and gathered out of the lands from the east and the west and from the north and the south. And as we've done that said in the past, I want to tell you that God is looking for men, women, boys, and girls, all shapes, sizes, and, you know, we're not going to. When you go into an army, you don't all have the same job. You don't all look the same. You don't all think the same. But what would you do is you have one commander. Do we have one commander this morning? And when you follow the commander, remember what Jesus said when his disciples came and said, they're not doing it. They're not doing it like we do it. They're just not doing it. I don't like the way they sang over there. We told them to quit. And Jesus literally looked at them and said, if they're not against us, they're for us. That's what Jesus said. Today there's going to be a lot of people say, well, you know, that church down there don't do that right. That church don't down that. And see, as far as anybody knows, we're a normal church. So it's okay. We just keep pushing that image. All right. So whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy, gathered out of the lands from the east and from the west, from the north and the south. We're not all the same. They wandered in the wilderness in a desolate way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainteth in them. And guys, I want to tell you, we have a whole country, we have a whole world that is fainting. They are tired. They're tired of the bad news. They're tired of the. And I have got some good news this morning. That Jesus Christ died on the cross for you. People's tired of the bad news. Well, this is up. This is up. That's not going to. This guy, we're going to indict. This, all that. Listen, get off the bad news and get on the good news. You know what gospel means? Gospel, the word gospel means good news. Okay? And when I translate it, it's outrageously good news. Okay? Because if you can almost reach the light bulb, and you just need a little boost. You just need a little boost. Well, I don't need a little boost. I need a real boost to be in the presence of God. I'm a long ways from it. Does that make sense? So then verse 4, then verse 10 again, it talks about the wanderers, those who sat in darkness. And verse 13 says, remember, this is just a review. And they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them. And we talked that. Phil Westmoreland sent me a deal the other day, and he said, Bruce, I'm going to slide in, and he's going to go, saved. All right? And I love the fact that, you know, when you respond back in private message or whatever. But, guys, I want to tell you that we have a Savior. Jesus saves. You know, there used to be a T-shirt that everybody used to wear that there was a Jesus playing basketball, and he's reaching out, grabbing it from, And he said, Jesus saves, and you know, what a save. And for some of us, it's a bigger save than others, okay? He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death, in verse 14, and broke their chains in pieces. Okay, some of us have a tendency, God delivers us, he redeems us, he's paid the price, yet we're still walking around dragging all the remnants of those chains. And don't get me wrong, nobody's perfect in this thing. But I want you to look at this picture, this sight picture. When I was looking at it again, I love this picture. He broke their chains in pieces. Now I want you to think about it. Yeah, if you break a chain, it's in two pieces. But I want you to think about it this way with me just for a minute. So you've been tied to a chain. You've been a slave. You've been tied out here in the yard. You've been tied. They've been throwing you food, and they've been telling you you've been working all day. And they take the chain off and let you free. That's a great thing, isn't it? But if you walk around all the time and you see that chain, it brings back that fear, okay? But I want you to think about this. Him taking that chain and link by link, cutting it and removing it as far as the east is from the west. You ain't gonna put that chain back on. You ain't got the time to weld every piece. I'm just telling you, it's broken. He breaks every chain. It's broken. And the liar, the enemy, the deceiver, the enemy of your spirit, the devil, would tell you, "Well, that chain, you know, no. It's not coming back. It's broken. He broke the chains. It's broken, and I want you to think about it as just being decimated today, not just let off and cut in two pieces. It's been cut to pieces. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and his wonderful works to children of men, for he has broken the gates of bronze and has cut the bars of iron in two." Again, that picture of setting us free from chains, setting us free from prison. And I'm free. Are you free?
Yes.
Okay. The completion of this, of course, 100% free is when you walk through those doors. When you walk into that door and you're in his presence completely. But I want you to see this, guys. I've said this probably three times in this series, and I feel like I need to say it again. The reason that people are not thankful is because they haven't received anything. The reason they don't have anything to give is because they're not getting anything from God. And I'm not saying that they haven't accepted Christ. It's just that tied in with that is, well, I'm blessed because I do this. I'm blessed because I do this. I'm blessed because if you earn something, I mean, I appreciate my job, but every couple of weeks down at the sheriff's office, they give me a check. But I show up for that check. I work for that check. I do what they tell me for that check. That's earned money, okay? Well, you didn't earn this. You didn't earn this. This is like winning the lottery 75 times, and it's eternal life. So can we be a little more excited about it? Well, you know, if things ain't working out like you wanted them to, welcome to the club, okay? You're in good club, okay? So now we are caught up mostly in verse 17. Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, were afflicted. All right. A fool has said there is what? Say it loud. A fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Okay. And I want to tell you, the reason that that happens many times, this isn't 100%, is because they're afraid of what that would mean. If there is a God, then you can't be God. You can't be the God over your life. You can't make all those decisions, okay? And because of their iniquities, they are afflicted. What's the wages of sin? But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So verse 18, shows what happens. These people are so afflicted in this scripture, they didn't want to eat anymore. They got so sick that they didn't want to eat, couldn't eat anymore, and they drew near to the gates of death. So I want to tell you, people tell me I can't pray. Bruce, I just don't have time to pray. I pray in the car. I just don't have time. I say, well, and this is, I'm not trying to be a know-it-all, although I am. But here's the deal. When it gets bad enough, you will pray.
Amen.
I can tell you what. You know how long it takes me to pray? About the amount of time it takes me to look for the brakes on that motorcycle. I mean, literally, if you say, Jesus, and I'm serious. I'm not cussing. I'm praying. Okay? I mean, literally, guys, you when things get bad, you can pray. And this in verse 19, then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. Now, go back to the other deal and says, fools, they've transgressed. Are these good folks? No, these are us. These people they're talking about is us, human beings. Okay? That's B-E-A-N-S, in case you wonder. Not beings, human beings. Human beings. Beings. All right. They cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He saved them. Did they deserve it? It looks like to me, the verses prior, they did this thing, the wages of sin is death, they get that, but then they see the error of their ways, and they call out to God. Does God help them?
Yes.
Is God full of mercy?
Yes.
Grace. And so I want to be, I know this is my Mother's Day, okay, but I want to be like my Heavenly Father this morning. I want to be full of grace, okay? You know, I fell off the platform one time up here. I had my cowboy boots were slick, and I fell off, and I may or may not have said a bad word on film. But the bottom line is that ain't very graceful, okay? But I want to tell you, I want to be full of grace this morning because he is full of grace. I want to show grace to people. He saved them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed and delivered them from their destruction. Okay. John 1:1 says what? And the word became
flesh.
I'm in verse 2 now, I guess. And the word became flesh. And what is his name?
Jesus.
Okay. Now, that doesn't take anything away from me studying this word that God's given us to. I do that. I study to show myself approved. I pray. I look at it. I meditate on the word. But listen carefully, guys. It says he saved them, and then he sent his word, and what? What does it say? Healed them. And I want to tell you that we've talked about this many, many times in the past. But I'll never forget, because, you know, the world always says this is going on, you know, with creation, all this stuff, science, you know, there is no God, all this is going on. Then the church is saying, well, the Bible says this. And then have you noticed in like the last 15 years that the word it's been going this way, science has been going this way, and now it's like that, and it's and people are like, golly. I'm serious. And I'm like, you know,
we are late bloomers,
yeah. We've never really caught on and probably still don't. But here's the point being is this. He healed them and delivered them from their destructions. I want to tell you, when I focus on him, when I focus on his purposes, when I'm walking redeemed, when I'm doing those things, guys, I want to tell you, I feel better. The stress in my life comes down just like this. And I'm not talking about legalism. I'm not talking about whether I should do this or that. I'm talking about in his presence, okay? In his presence, and the way I always used to remember it is in his presence, that's C-E, there is always his presence, which is T-S, like under the Christmas tree, presence. Okay, if you, I'm gonna tell you, when I was running with J.O. Veland, and we were, that's my daddy, when we were going down the road in the car, not one time was he driving down the road and stop and say, "You got any money?" Not one time. Now, if I went in there and got the dollar candy bar instead of the 50 cent candy bar, he might say, "Put that back." Okay. But on the other hand, no, that would be mom. Mom would be monitoring that. But here's the deal, guys. I'm serious. Not one time as we're going down the road in that 1969 Mercury Monterey did he get out and say, "Bruce, you got any money?" Not one time. Because you know what? If he was driving and you was with him, he had everything handled. Okay. Now you may have to get the, you might not can get the jumbo hamburger, but you might, you know, whatever. Okay. But that's beside the point. But the point is he handled it because he was there, and we need to get in his presence. Christianity is not a religion. It's not a religion. I don't care what you want to call it. It's a covenant relationship between a much greater and a much lesser. And I am, by the way, if you're wondering who's the lesser in this covenant, I am the, I'm the, this, the, he's everything and I'm this, okay? But the bottom line is, in that covenant, he said, when it's time to pray, don't, you literally say, "Our Father who art in heaven." Is that what it says? Okay. So, guys, he sent his word, he healed them, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. Okay, so that sacrifice of thanksgiving. I want to tell you that Jericho, on that seventh day, on that sixth walk around, was just as firm and hard and high and opposing to their mission. As they're coming around that sixth time, there is no crumble, there is no racket, there's no indication, there's nothing. But then they begin to shout. And as they shouted in obedience to God, those walls begin to fall. Some of you guys have heard this before, but I had a job 30 years ago in another state, and I got called out 2-3 o'clock in the morning all the time. And I want to tell you, I'm not my best human being after I've been asleep. At this point in my life, we had a baby. Our first baby was born, maybe even our second baby. And so there's always somebody squalling. Anyway, the point being is they called me on something that I didn't think I should have been called out on. I got up. I was so mad. I was so uncaffeinated. I was just furious. And I got in that car and I began to complain to God. And I began to complain. I'll never forget. It was a black Crown Vic. And not one, it was no radio station, it had AM radio, couldn't pick up nothing, couldn't do anything. And I rolled down the window to get a little air in there. And I heard this still small voice. "Praise me." It still makes me weep. Not because if he told me to praise him, but because I obeyed that time. And I just began to worship the Lord and praise him and began to sing and praise the Lord. And something happened in me. I began to get peace that passes all understanding. I began to get joy unspeakable. I began to get all that. You say, "Oh, Bruce, that's just emotions, you know." Listen to me. This was the presence of God. And as that came, it broke that spirit of despair. It just went, poof, and it was gone. And I showed up there And usually I was extremely gripey when I got there, and somebody better meet me at the crime scene with a cup of coffee. But anyway, but the point being is those guys were like, were you still up? Were you, what? Is that you? I mean, it was, but you know why? I had been in the presence of the Lord, and it had broken that. And he said, let them sacrifice. And that, I want to tell you something. I didn't feel like praising the Lord. I felt like griping because that's what I was doing. Okay. And declare the works with rejoicing. And I want to tell you that we went to Clay Cooper the other night. And we sitting in there, and it was good. It was really good. Okay. Having your old Hannah was there playing. And it was good. And they were playing, you know, it was all in it. And I was sitting there, but all of a sudden, they did a rock number, and he's Clay Cooper comes around the edge and said, I think after that, we need a little gospel. And this guy walks out and begins to worship God. And I don't mean he was just singing. I mean, he was worshiping God. And I want to tell you something that happened in that room. Peace started at the top. It just came down.
Amen.
In that, I mean, don't get me wrong. It's not like, you know, but the focus had been another thing. The focus had been fun. The folks had been laughing. But the focus went on him. And when my focus went on him, literally, you could feel the whole temperature of the room changed. Everything changed. And I want to tell you what changed that I care about more than anything else is me. I was like, praise the Lord. And you know what? You can do that yourself. You don't have to go to the theater to do that. You don't have to go to the church house. Please do when it's open. But listen, go in your closet. It doesn't have to be a real closet, but in your prayer closet. And you know what that, when you translate that, back in the old days, it was not a room. It was your prayer shawl pulled up over your head. So your closet might be out here in the yard, okay? And when you get in there alone with God and you begin to praise him, does something happen?
Amen.
Has anybody else ever experienced that?
Amen.
Okay? I'm 100, you know, there's nothing in my life that's 100% except for God. And 100% of the time when I praise him, it changes things, okay? And the main thing it changes is me and my wonderful attitude sometimes, okay? We'll just be positive, okay? Let them, and many times it's a sacrifice, and I declare his works with rejoicing. And here's the deal. There's a difference between praise and worship. I used to teach this all the time, and I'll do it real quick. Okay, literally, praise is me saying, oh man, that beard is great. That beard is great. It looks good on you. Yeah, yeah. That's a nice outfit. That's me praising you, okay, for something, okay? Or, hey man, that's a wonderful Christmas present you gave me. I'm just, thank you. That's praising, okay? But that's one level out. But worship, the word worship, literally when it's translated, it means falling down. It means a adoration of you for who you are, not for what you did. Thankfulness is a good thing. How many of y'all know that?
Amen.
Thankful, you know, that'll change you. But I want to tell you, worship, when you enter into that sanctuary, when you get behind those curtains, it's God for who you are. No matter what happens, you deserve to be worshipped, Lord. No matter what happens in the flesh, Lord, you are high and lifted up. Right now, there are angels singing, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. I want to tell you, because he's worthy. He's worthy, okay? And so declare his works with rejoicing, worship him, magnify him, bless him, and it changes things. Okay. Verse 23. Okay. Oh, this hurts. I'm just going to tell you, just let's go ahead and get it out there. When I read this, studied this again, it's like, oh, Bruce. Those who go down to the sea in ships who do business on great waters. This scripture stands for our work life. Okay, so here's the deal. Men, more than women, many times, they identify not as sons, as brothers. What they identify is whatever they do and accomplish, okay? And some of that's just our nature. You know, testosterone is an amazing thing. But the point being, it gets you in trouble too. But the point is you can work yourself to death trying to get to the next thing. So this is about do business in great waters. They see the works of the Lord and his wonders on the deep, and he commands and raises the stormy wind, which lifts the waves of the sea. They mount up to the heavens. They go down to the depths. Their soul melts because of trouble. Okay, now watch this. How many of you know that in the workplace, we all know that there's family trouble, there's government problems, there's all these other things, but watch this. In the workplace, is there usually a struggle of some kind?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's just, you know, there's conflict, and if you work with a bunch of guys, there's not one woman around, there'll be conflict. If you work with a bunch of girls, then there'll be conflict. If you work with boys and girls together, there'll be conflict. You know, everybody always pointing at the other one that, you know, if you work in this industry, you work in that industry. I used to show up to a particular meeting and literally they wouldn't say, how's your so-and-so doing? What they would say is, how's your daycare? Okay, because it was like running a daycare. It was not a daycare, okay, but that was the joke, okay? But watch this, they go down to the depths and their soul melts because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wit's end. Is the economy got you at your wit's end? Many people right now are comparing this to the stages of the Great Depression, where people are just beginning to get, who cares? You know, who cares? But I'm talking about economically. They cry out to the Lord in their trouble, and watch this, and he brings them out of their distress. I want to tell you something. This is about the last thing to get saved on me right here, because I'm self-centered, I'm cheap, I'm selfish, I'm all that. And I want to tell you, when I gave God, I'll never forget the different places I've worked, the different things that I've done, and I said, God, I will do what you want me to do. And many times, it's a day-by-day process. You can't just make up your mind to do that. You have to, just like everything else, you have to get up in the morning and say, God, I'm going to follow you today with what I'm doing. And he brings them out of their distress. He calms the storm so that the waves are still. And I know people right now in their life that they have storms all around them. And they could be crazy because of it. But you know what they choose to do? You know what God does? Instead of changing the outer thing, he calms them. Okay? And I want to tell you something. Oh, I'm going to be careful. I need to be very careful. I know people, and have for the last 40 years, that they're always ready. You know, they're tactical. They're not tactical. They're tactical. They got the latest gear. They got this right here. They got that. But then I'm going to tell you, when you find out who is tactical, you don't find out in practice. You don't find out in the office. You don't find out in the coffee shop. You know who finds out who's tactical is when something happens. Does that make sense? And when they have to respond to something happen, it's no longer talking about it. It's no longer what they've read in a magazine. It's no longer all that. And listen, I want to tell you that the bottom line is when those storms start happening, that's when you know who to hold on to, okay? He brings them out of distress. He calms storm, so that the waves are still. Then they are glad because they are quiet, so he guides them to their desired haven. We're talking about ships, and this was actually eye-opening to me because I was never in the Navy, never had any desire to be in the Navy. If I can't see land, it makes me nervous, okay? Going out in a bass boat sometimes, you know, anyway. But the point being is this. With Toby driving it, it wouldn't scare me because, you know, he's... But anyway, but the bottom line is this, guys. It says he guides them to their desired haven. And I want to tell you something. I've seen big ships. I've been on big ships and toured big ships and submarines. And submarines really helped me decide I was not going to the Navy. But anyway, but the point being is this, guys. I'm not exaggerating. Those ships, when they're tied up, you know, down in Florida, or Mobile, I think is where I was at, they are like 98% safe. I mean, they're just safe. They're moored, they're tied up, but you get on there and they got all these big guns, they got all this gear, an aircraft carrier's got a place for an aircraft to land, some of them have all these missiles they can fire from the ship out in the sea and hit land, all this stuff, torpedoes, which I've only seen in the movies, but anyway, but the point being is this, they got all that gear. And they're safe right there. But are they made to stay in the port?
No.
No. And when I saw this, I was like, because I'm safety minded, comfort minded. Okay. But the bottom line is, the way they get used for what they were made for is they get out in the stuff. They get out in the war. They get out in conflict. And I want to tell you something. We are in a war. And it's not against flesh and blood, but it's against powers and principalities in high places. So, oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord, we're in verse 31, for his goodness and for the wonderful works of the children, or to the children of men. Let them exalt also in the congregation of people and praise him in the assembly of elders. So, let me ask you a question. First, this is the last little bit. First, are you thankful?
Yes.
If you're thankful, then say that. And I don't mean the second. I mean live a life that portrays and proclaims thankfulness. Because if you gripe all the time, that means you're not thankful. If things aren't the way you want them, but I want to tell you, it changes, again, praising him, I told you that story, but just being thankful, having a thankful heart. I don't remember which author I read this, it wasn't too long ago, again, that's something I've read several times, but he literally made a challenge. He said, when you get in bed tonight, get out your pencil and paper right before you go to sleep and write down everything that's wrong. Write down everything that's wrong and then see how you sleep that night. Okay. The next night, right before you get to sleep, same notebook, turn the page and write down everything you had to be thankful for and focus on that and see how well you sleep. And I want to tell you something. I didn't have to do that because I know that's right. Because Kim and I were talking the other day about, because I had a different set of responsibilities this last week with some teaching and stuff, and I had to get up earlier and had to be a certain place hours earlier than I normally am and have everything set up. At midnight tonight, I had to get up early the next morning, at midnight tonight before my brain's going, right? Because I'm focusing on what I've got to do, okay? And, you know, that's not sin, but that's just, anyway, you need to relax, okay? So let them exalt them in the congregation of people. Let's be thankful and praise him in the assembly of the elders. And 33 is final verse for today. He turns rivers into the wilderness and water springs to dry ground, a fruitful land into barrenness for the wickedness of those who dwell in it. So here's the deal, guys. It matters what you do. And if you are not getting the fruit you want, then change what you do. Because we always want to think that it's somebody else, something else, some external thing. And you're no different than I am. I'm no different than you are. Did you see that chopper? Shut. That's nice. Extended front end, sissy bar. Looked very 72-ish. I'm not distracted. Don't worry about that. Not distracted at all. Okay, don't worry about the motorcycle problem. But I want to tell you something, guys. If you're not getting the fruit you want, okay, then look to him, because 35, he turns a wilderness into pools of water and dry land into water springs. This is where we'll start next week. But is God's hand on the faucet?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I want to tell you something. He's trained us to be soldiers. He wants us to fight. Okay? Not each other, by the way. Don't choose up sides now. Okay? But here's the deal. As we do that, though, we're becoming the men and women he called us to be. By the way, I reposted a video from Jasper, Arkansas that I shot 7 years ago. I reposted yesterday. I went back to the original video. It's been shared 100 times in those 7 years. And it is, the quality is horrible on it. There's winds blowing. But I want to tell you, it's been 7 years or so. That message has come back around. And what that is how God takes things not going the way you want them to go. And I want to tell you, he is faithful when things don't go the way you want them to go. Just watch, it's about 10 minutes. Watch the video, it's on our Facebook. But guys, I want to tell you, his word has spoken to me again this morning. He spoke to me again last night, reading, studying again, praying for this morning. So God, thank you so much for your word, because your word, Lord, become flesh and redeemed us from the curse of the law. But Lord, as we read this, Lord, we're now under the blessing of obedience. And you obeyed it perfectly and paid the price for us, O Lord. But Lord, as we walk in your path, we reap the wonderful benefits of that. So Lord, let us be the men and women you've called us to be. In Christ's name, I pray. Amen. We're going to be back in about 45 minutes. Have a good day.